You might have noticed that Pat and I are pretty fussy about our finances and our investments.
Yeah, a lot of junk doesn't make it past our bullshit detectors. But one thing that we've both used for many years is ShareSite. It records all dividends, franking credits, transactions, and performance easily in one place.
You can generate reports for income and capital gains, which makes tax time super easy. And ShareSite is completely free if you have 10 holdings or less.
So we've partnered with ShareSite to help support the podcast and provide all our listeners who upgrade to a paid plan a saving of 33% off the annual plan price. If you start with a free plan using our link, you'll still get that discount if you upgrade to a paid plan in the first 60 days.
Just head to ShareSite.com/fire and chill to get started.
Welcome to the Fire and Chill podcast, a collaboration between Dave from Strong Money Australia and Pat from Lifelong Shuffle, where we're going to have regular conversations about fire, investing, and living your best life.
Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Fire and Chill. We've got a pretty exciting topic to talk about today, something that will get those juices flowing, I think. And we've actually been looking forward to this one when we penned it out in our little podcast calendar. And so today we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into Pat's situation, but a little bit more than that, we're going to be discussing the idea of transitioning to retirement and semi-retiring itself and how Pat might be looking to kind of transition towards this kind of situation sooner rather than later. So what do you reckon? Are you excited about this topic, mate?
I'm excited, not only just because it's, you know, something that's happening in my life, but because I think it's a really great opportunity to catch in real time myself going through this whole process over the next, say, few years. Whereas often when you see other podcasters or other bloggers, you don't necessarily catch them right in the middle of this process. They have either come to blogging or come to podcasting well before they've retired or well after they've already retired. And so you're getting a recount of events or an expectation of events further in the future instead of, you know, what's going on in your head right at this very moment.
Yeah, so you end up having a lot of people on either ends of the spectrum, like just starting their fire journey, and those who might have retired a few years ago and then they're talking about things from that perspective. But there's not many people that are like at the retirement or semi-retirement period and dealing with those all those questions and kind of decisions happening in real time that they can talk about.
Yeah, exactly. And things definitely come up, right? And they're not necessarily things you might expect straight away. So as we go through this, maybe we'll start talking about some of those things.
And because we have talked about semi-retirement as a topic and as an idea before on the show, but we haven't actually, I mean, when you're actually going through it and making those trade-offs and decisions in your mind, all these things that you're wondering, it's very different to just the idea of it.
Yes, it definitely is different and things aren't as clean in the real world as they are in theory. So we obviously need to deal with those challenges, and it's nice to be able to talk about them and produce a podcast ep about it.
Yeah, good stuff. So got anything else to say, mate, before we get started or what? Anything new this week?
Not really. Just another full week of work in lockdown Sydney. It's Are you still in lockdown?
No, we haven't been in lockdown for ages, mate. We've been open for months and months and months.
Oh, living the dream. That's great. We can just see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're all just hoping to get there sooner rather than later.
Well, it's supposed to be not that long now, isn't it? By the time this episode comes out, you might have a little bit more freedom.
Yeah, maybe. A couple of weeks away, really.
But I suppose this somewhat hectic full-time schedule is what's prompting your desire towards semi-retirement and this episode in itself, I guess.
Yeah, and we didn't really know when we should do this episode, how early we should do it, when, you know, but anyway, it's been tough. It's been difficult to know when to make these decisions and when to talk about them even. But let's get into it, eh?
Yeah, and so that's part of it in itself. So I suppose the first thing we want to get into is just covering a little bit of backstory maybe for people who kind of know who you are, but they're not really aware of like your journey up until now. So are you able to just give us like a little recount for people who might not be aware of your journey towards retirement? so far?
Yeah, I have been working for probably a decade now, full-time work. I went to university before that for 5 years.
5 years?
So it was pretty long. Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty long university degree. It was actually a double degree. We won't get into that. But obviously during uni, I kept myself afloat by doing different odd jobs, like lots of hospitality, retail, whatever I could. And then after uni, I kind of got into my first career job and really started saving from there. I saved enough to take like a stupidly luxurious Europe trip a year later and still have money left over afterwards. So I didn't like completely deplete my account to $0 after that Euro trip, which was really great. And I've always had a bit of travel in my life as well. So I kept traveling. I think I did another huge Euro trip 2 years later and I've dotted around Southeast Asia quite a bit. So that's been fun. But all the while I had like a pretty natural tendency to be a saver. So even while taking these overseas trips, I still managed to put plenty of money away because as we keep saying, Dave, it just doesn't take that much money to live a good life. As long as you spend it on the right things and you put it where your values are and you don't go too crazy with your spending.
Mm.
Anyway, fast forward, 2017-ish rolls around, maybe end of 2016. I've pretty well gotten sick of like full-time work. And at that point, it's been about 5 years. And I've saved quite a large chunk of money by this point. I think it was like a couple of $100,000 without trying too much. But then I like start to really think about knuckling down and saving seriously towards a goal of early retirement.
Would this be kind of when the idea of real financial independence and quitting work early in life really kind of became a lot stronger for you, that desire?
Yes, definitely. So before this point, when I was just kind of a good saver, it was always in the back of my mind, not a firm goal, but it was always like, oh, I don't want to work until I'm 65. That's crazy. So I'm going to put money away now so I can retire a bit earlier. But it was never as concrete a thought and it was never as early as, you know, the goals I have now. Genuine, we'll call it fire or as we know it in your 30s or 40s. It was more like, oh, if I can retire 10 years early or something by saving now, that'd be great. But 2017 rolls around, I'm sick of it. I do much more research into the whole early retirement movement.
Yeah.
Blows my mind completely. Really, really vibes with me. Like, you know what I mean? Like you first read it and you're like, yeah, this all just really resonates with me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people have had that experience. They've kind of felt like this full-time work life isn't quite agreeing with them, but they don't really realize there's an alternative.
Yeah.
And when they discover fire, it just all makes sense. It really resonates with them.
Yeah. Do you think part of the, a little bit off topic, but do you think part of the excitement once you first start reading about it and part of the astonishment is realizing what's actually possible if you really focus your energies on it? Because it's quite amazing because initially you were saying how you were excited by the idea of retiring, you know, maybe 10 years early, maybe even 15 years early if you get a bit crazy with it. But the idea of retiring after just 10 years seems insane. And I think that's part of the exciting part of probably what astonished you when you first started doing proper research into this stuff.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure if before I got to like that moment of desperation, we'll call it, where I was over it, I probably would have seen articles about retiring early and just like dismissed them as nonsense. But at that point, I was probably ready to do some more research and actually pay attention and not just dismiss it off cuff.
Mm.
So that was getting near 5 years ago now when I sort of discovered that. And I've been saving very intensely for those 5 years. And as part of that saving goal, you know, really working on my career, like really pursuing those promotions, really pursuing that extra pay rises, et cetera, moving around between a couple of companies, focusing on how I could deliver the most value to my employer and how I could work on developing my skills or the niches I work in to really aim at that goal. And I've gotten to this point now where I've bought a house this year. I've saved up a very large chunk of money by myself. My partner has obviously done the same thing, and though she doesn't share her numbers and they're not included in the numbers I share on my website, you know, she's definitely been saving for that whole time period as well. So we're in a fairly comfortable position at the moment.
And so I guess that that's a little bit of a transition into what we want to talk about. And that's really, you've gotten to this point where you're starting to think about stepping away from full-time work and what the next chapter of your life looks like. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. And we should probably preamble this with, as part of like this super career-focused process I've been on, like full-time work would be a gross understatement of what I've been doing. If you consider full-time work 38 hours per week, yeah. If I could work just 38 hours a week, that would probably feel like a full-on semi-retirement for me, like part-time work.
We were actually joking about this before the show. You know, you might have these levels of, you know, full financial independence, and then a little bit above that you might have semi-retirement, and then obviously above that you've got full-time work. So Pat right now, he's going to retire from overtime back down to full-time work, and that's going to feel like a bit of freedom for him. So that's the first step in the transition process, is to get down to full-time work.
That is the first step in this transition process, to take that foot off the accelerator pedal, stop doing these sort of crazy 11, 12-hour days every day at work, and move back to something a bit more reasonable.
And so one of the first things that comes to my mind in this discussion is, what's the reason that semi-retirement appeals to you more so than aiming for the full financial independence? Because I suppose you could at this point, you've built up quite a bit of wealth, as you were saying before, and you've just bought a house, and your finances have been going pretty good for the last, you know, 5 years, 7 years, whatever. So you probably, if you just were to work full-time for another few years, you could become completely financially independent. So what's the reason that you're opting for a more steady process and a more steady transition, and you're aiming for semi-retirement instead?
Yeah, I suppose it's just a matter of, full financial independence has become, it's almost become a foregone conclusion at this point with the level of wealth I have. Like, it's an inevitable outcome, right? So when you start, like, you're working really hard and every dollar counts. But once you've got a portfolio that's around $1 million, let's say, and you've got yearly expenses that are far lower than that, you know, $40,000 to $60,000, let's say, you don't need to be earning a lot of money to cover your expenses and have your portfolio continue to grow. So you're right, I could sort of quit, or I could keep working two more years and just get that like really fat like buffer in there and fully have enough money to just fully pull the plug and work all together and just like, okay, I'm done now. But we discussed all the benefits of semi-retirement in a previous episode, and it just seems stupid not to take some of that that's on the table right now and sort of, yeah, get some more freedom back now and some more life back now. And I suppose another big part of it was, in like my current role, I'm site-based in the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
So my construction projects occur, you know, they might take a year, they might take a little longer than a year, but it's never much longer than that. So I'm always in and around Sydney, and I'm always needing to move places. Like, I'm always needing to rent a place and then move within a year or 2 years and then move again, unless I just happen to be able to get a construction project that's near enough the place I currently live. So I'm really keen to move down to the house I bought earlier this year, like get a role where working from home is possible, or maybe working from home most of the time is possible.
Okay.
And that would make a huge difference to my lifestyle right now.
Yeah. And it's really about bringing the benefits of retirement and financial independence forward right now, because I suppose, yes, you could wait another couple of years until you reach the, you know, permanent live off your portfolio forever kind of put your feet up scenario, but then you can also get a lot of those benefits now, or much sooner than waiting for that point. And then is it true that you're also not wanting to take a permanent break and move into something else? You are quite happy to continue working in your current, like for your current employer, just in a different role? Because that probably plays into it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I am like happy working for my current employer. And of course, when you're working for an employer, it's always a negotiation between the value you can provide them and what they pay you.
Mm.
So I've decided that in talking to my employer, I found a role for myself which I could work from home but still provides enough value for them that, you know, it's worth keeping me around.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, you know, you can't just demand part-time roles and then expect your employer to just
accommodate you.
Accommodate those.
Yeah.
You know, they have businesses to run and, you know, businesses need to have good employees who are working productively for them so that they can be successful. So, yeah, that sort of played into this transition I'm making now. And hopefully down the track, I can find a part-time role that suits my area of expertise, or maybe I could even transition to something more like consulting work.
Okay. Would that be with the same employer or would that be going out on your own and contracting yourself out?
I would have to contract myself out, maybe back to the same employer, but maybe to other people too.
Okay. And so, you know, you've been on this journey with your partner. Is she excited about the transition to semi-retirement as well? Is that her plan too, to transition to like a part-time job, or is she doing the same thing as you essentially?
Yeah, she's doing the same thing as me. She took a role that was a little less full-on, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 months ago at this point. And that has been great because the role she was in before was crazy stressful, like very long hours, a lot of work. And this new role has just been so much better. Like doing a full-time day definitely has its perks over doing a super overtime day. But I think she could. I won't put words in her mouth because she hasn't gone down this path yet. But I think it's certainly possible for her to start looking at part-time in her current role. But that being said, that's obviously up to her and and what her employer can offer.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And so do you have a little time frame that you're roughly going to work on for when you might want to move down to this house and start your new setup with your part-time jobs?
Yeah, before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Pat's moving out of Sydney this year.
And so will you still be in your current role at that point and have to do a ton of driving, or how's that going to work?
No. I'm getting toward the end of my current two projects.
Mm.
And see, this is good line of questioning, Dave, because this brings up a few other things that's probably important to talk about.
Because your situation's a little bit different to someone with a normal full-time job who may just want to transition or quit and get something else. You kind of work in chunks. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm getting to the end of my current construction projects, and they will come to an end within 2 months, you know, paperwork and everything signed over and completed. And so for me to commit myself in my current role to my next project will easily push me out to having to do that for a year and a half, let's say, perhaps longer. So this really weighed on my mind because, to be fair to my employer, I don't want to ask to transition in the middle of a project because it's really, really difficult in a construction project to transition project managers. You know, you kind of lose a wealth of intimate knowledge about the project in that process. And during that transition, a lot of things can go wrong.
So, yeah, you don't want to leave halfway and leave the next person to kind of pick up and learn all the issues and intricacies and things that might be going on. So it's much easier to have one person complete the entire project.
Yes, definitely, 100%. And so I knew that would not really be seen favorably by my employer if I wanted to do it in the midst of the delivery of a, you know, large-scale construction project. And so it weighed on my mind that if I don't make this decision now, I won't get another chance until mid-2023. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want to be doing this for another year and a half, like this really hectic schedule.
So it's essentially a case of, okay, if I stay at work for another couple of months, I'm essentially staying, in this current role, that is, I'm essentially committing to the next 18 months. You can't just take it month by month if you want to do the right thing.
No, I can't. And obviously, I'm sort of leaning on my personal reputation at work to kind of drive for this transition to a new role for myself.
Yeah.
And leaning into the experience that they have with me and the trust they have with me. So I want to ensure that I continue delivering those things, and that will be put me in a better, say, negotiating position to be able to ask to make these transitions over time.
Yeah, that makes sense to want to do the right thing by your current employer so that you can, they're more willing to accommodate your desires for a different role and a part-time role because you are still a valued person. You're not just making kind of a selfish decision just to leave whenever you feel like it. So that makes sense. And it's smart to do it that way. But I suppose that brings up another question. How would you feel if, like, would you quit your current job if you had to? Like, if there was no part-time roles available, would you be willing to quit your current job and then find a part-time job elsewhere? Or are you much more comfortable transitioning this way because you can stay with your current employer? Does that factor into it?
It does factor into it. I am much more comfortable transitioning with my current employer because, like I said, I've already built that relationship, built that trust, and I can sort of lean on it to be able to make these sorts of requests. Whereas I did consider maybe if, you know, worst comes to worst, I could look for another job and kind of transition that way. And that's still always an option. I'd still consider that if things change in the next 6 months or if my employer is not quite happy, they want me to do something different. But yeah, I feel more comfortable doing it this way. And I suppose a lot of people would because it's lots of different life changes at the same time can be quite stressful and quite manic.
True.
Whereas kind of trying to space out the transitions or the in your life, you know, kids, work, moving homes, etc., kind of makes things a bit easier, a bit more manageable.
And it gives you a little bit more certainty and a little bit more continuity to stay with your current employer rather than having to find somewhere new and then hope that you like the people you're working with and the role fits what you want to do and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I suppose that makes sense. So when you're considering this situation, because you're in this right now and you've been thinking about it for quite a while. So what is it that you've been kind of tossing up in your head and wanting to make this decision? Like, run me through that a little bit, like the pros and cons of what you've been thinking about, you know, staying at work longer and making a bit more money, a bit more cushion, or waiting till your investments are bigger or whatever. Like, talk me through that thought process on why you've decided that now is the right time.
Oh, there's so much to go through.
Is this going to be a two-hour podcast?
I hope not. Yeah, so money's obviously a factor. The more money I can have, the more confident and comfortable I can be in reducing hours of work. And that did sort of weigh on the decision. That being said, pretty comfortable right now with our net wealth. You know, we're not trying to retire with $100,000 or anything. So
of annual income, you mean? Is that what you mean?
No. I meant
like retiring with very little investments. Is that what you meant?
Very little investments, oh, okay. Yeah. Something that weighed on me too is I still want to kind of keep my career moving, like still have that tenure and that resume continuity for the time being.
You don't want a gap in your resume.
No, yeah, exactly.
I think I'm going on like 4.5 years of a gap now in my resume. Imagine
trying
I apply
to explain
for
that one.
Yeah, I apply for a new job, mate. What have you been doing for the last 4.5 years? Ah, not much. I got a blog, I guess. I do stuff with turtles.
Well, these are the things that people in full-time work have to think about, unfortunately, because people do ask questions when you have little career breaks. It gets even worse, like when the higher up you are, like doing knowledge work, let's say.
Because employers want to see that. I mean, if you've got a gap, it looks like a lack of commitment. If you've got a solid work history, it looks like you're more committed to whoever you're employed with and also the industry and the work that you're doing. There's like a higher level of perceived passion there because there's no gaps. You've just been, you know what I mean, doing it the whole time. And yeah,
there's that, and there's just also just like currency of experience, like you know what you're getting yourself into. You've been doing this, you know all the processes, the procedures, you know, however they've changed over the last 4 years, let's say, you know the current ones. You don't know how things ran 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing is pretty important. Something else that sort of weighed on the decision was the industry I'm in is very resistant to work from home.
Can't build much from home.
Exactly. You can't exactly build government infrastructure from home for the most part. And the role I was in particular was basically impossible to do full time from home. You could do one day a week or maybe 2 days a week from home.
And that is it more or less site supervisor kind of that kind of vibe, or is it something else?
A bit of that vibe. I do have site supervisors working on site, but the project manager is just expected to have a site presence and to make sure things are running well and smoothly and to standard, let's say. So that's where I'm coming from, and trying to find a role in that infrastructure space which lends itself to working from home is maybe not as straightforward as one would think. And I've actually had people email me, I'm not sure if it was the Fire and Chill podcast email or if it was the Lifelong Shuffle email, but asking like, oh, how do you land that? Like, what is it? What are you doing? Because they were in the construction industry as well, and it just doesn't seem possible to get a more balanced role being an engineer in construction.
Where your physical presence isn't required all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
And I suppose on the other, like, flip side of the coin, obviously things that have been weighing on me are just like my general health, because I've been getting up at 5:30 in the morning for longer than I can remember at this point. And I hate waking up at 5:30 in the morning, especially during winter. Hate it.
Oh, the winters are tough. Yeah, man.
Winters are hellish. Like, you wake up, it's pitch black, you're tiptoeing out of your bedroom, getting dressed in the living room.
And so cold.
And it's freezing, and you're driving in, like, you're driving in the dark to work, and you're driving home from work in the dark.
Yeah, that gets depressing, hey, when you go to work and it's dark, you come home, it's dark, and you barely, I mean, it's probably not quite the same for you, but I used to work in a factory, and so I'd see very little, like, daytime or sunlight, so it becomes pretty depressing.
Yeah, and then trying to maintain a physical health sort of thing, like exercise routine with such a demanding and fluid job, because it's the kind of job where I can't just say, like, I can't just book in a gym session every 6 p.m. every Wednesday. That's not how this job works. On 6 p.m. next Wednesday, we might be like having problems pumping concrete into the form, and it's going off, and it's going to cost the company $30,000, and it needs to be solved right now. Like, it's not the kind of industry where you can make plans around work, because work is so fluid. Like, things happen constantly, or things can go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah,
all the time, and you just have to be flexible to deal with them on the spot.
Sorry, guys, can't stay back tonight. I've got to focus on my personal wellness.
Yeah, exactly. That would not be looked upon too favorably. Yeah,
so it can be hard, I suppose. You can't have the same sort of routine in terms of, you know, looking after yourself with things like that, and you can't probably can't plan as many things as well. And then when you get home, you're probably sometimes too tired to exercise, and it becomes a bit of a spiral, doesn't it?
It definitely does. Definitely does. Like, the work's great, but it definitely asks a lot of you. And so there's a kind of epidemic of project managers in their 30s just picking up and being like, screw it, it's not worth it.
And leaving, really.
Yeah, well, they usually leave to find like government roles or something, or council jobs, or just something
a bit cushier.
Yes, something a bit cushier. Those who stick around become like the construction managers and general managers of those companies, and they just continue to work those crazy lives.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of health and a bit of balance is right up there on the priority list and reason for wanting to make this move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And just the ability to actually move into the house that I bought. It's well away from the construction projects that we'd be working on. And so I'm not the sort of person that wants to commute an hour and a half each way.
Yeah. That's not worth it at all, is it?
No. Not while doing an 11-hour day.
Mm. But mate, then you won't have an investment property anymore.
Oh no. I'm gonna lose the investment property. There goes all the fire plans.
You'll have to buy another one.
It's been so lovely the last 6 months. It actually has. It's been not a lot of problems whatsoever.
Oh, you're lucky, mate.
Yeah. Your investment portfolio is still throwing curveballs at you?
What did we have recently? I think I told you. Didn't I tell you? I sent you a text with, remember I had the bills 1 month, I sent you a text and I was like, this one, okay, that's what it's really like, remember?
No. Did I get that?
That was a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was like a leak, and then there was like something needed painted, and then there was like aircon broke, and then there was like a ceiling fan that wasn't working, and then something else, you know, because if you've got, you have like multiple properties and one thing per property, and then yeah, it becomes like a lot. So yeah.
You basically, yeah, you've always got something going wrong.
Yeah, seems to be. Anyway, back to the topic, mate. So was there any, you know, it all sounds pretty good so far, but was there any kind of concerns or worries that you had when you are looking to transition, or is there anything that's on your mind that does kind of bother you a little bit about this process?
Yeah,
Because I suppose it is kind of, I mean, you've built a fair bit of wealth at this point, but it is kind of a big life change and a big step to take in a different direction to what most people ever do, really. Like most people never really semi-retire. They will wait till full retirement. So semi-retiring at, you know, in your 30s is still kind of a big step on a different path that most people take. So was there anything that kind of ran through your mind that was a little bit, made you a little bit uneasy, or any little fears that you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Because it is common.
Yeah, but to be clear, in the first instance, I will transition to this new role and do it like full-time, like proper full-time, not overtime, full-time in the first instance. And then I've talked to my boss about perhaps doing it part-time if we can manage it, which I'm sure I should be able to manage it, you know, several months down the track. But back to your actual question, yeah, of course. Like the current role I'm in is in very high demand, and there's a very clear career trajectory, and there's a very clear, like, you know, need and direct hiring of those positions, let's say. Whereas the role I'm transitioning to, not that it's not required, but it's more of an ancillary support role to those more necessary or more direct roles.
Okay.
So it's definitely played on my mind that, you know, I'm moving into a slightly less secure position that isn't going to be always as required, let's say.
Is it something that could be automated away eventually by AI or something like that?
No, it couldn't be automated, but it's definitely the kind of position that's like, well, okay, do we need this one anymore? Okay, maybe we'll move this person here to do this instead, or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, there's lots of people in these positions, but it's just something that I have considered when deciding to move away from like that direct delivery role to more of a support ancillary role.
Mm.
Yeah, but like,
you can just do something else.
I'll just do something else, you know. I'll just find another job. Like at this point, I'm like financially, I'm not going to be too worried if I'm without work for a couple of months, you know,
yeah.
And I'm just looking for another job. It's not a major life catastrophe.
Or even a couple of years, probably.
Even a decade.
Because we covered it a little bit, but the financial picture, correct me if I'm wrong, would essentially look like you and your partner will end up working part-time and living very comfortably on those part-time incomes and still being able to save and add to your investments, and your investments won't even be touched at that point. Is that right? And that will just continue to compound?
Yes, absolutely. So
that's a very strong position to be in, isn't it?
It's extremely strong. Even working part-time, we will still be what many people would consider high income earners, or a high income earning couple.
Yeah.
So financially, we could, you know, we could both work 2 days a week and still be investing money on the side, let's say.
Yeah, well.
Clearly not as much as we are now,
mm-hmm.
but there's that level of security there because I don't need as much work.
Yeah.
But also with the level of the investment portfolio, like losing work for months or years is not going to worry us financially.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that sort of level of comfort there that I can make some mistakes along the way, or things might not go perfectly smoothly and it'll be just fine.
I feel like people underestimate how good, like if let's say we take the example of some people that are maybe halfway on their FIRE journey or maybe not even halfway. I think they tend to underestimate how good their financial picture would look if they cut down to part-time work and just decided to semi-retire instead. What do you think that's the case as well? Because, you know, if they've got, you know, a few hundred thousand, let's say maybe 500,000 of investments, they might be able to pull maybe 20 grand a year from that quite comfortably. And then if they're working part-time, they might earn, I don't know, 30 grand a year working, you know, very minimally, maybe 2 days a week, and maybe their partner does too. And so they're looking at, what, 80 grand of income for the household, and only with what, you know, a few hundred thousand essentially of investments or wealth built, 500,000. That's very, very comfortable. And I think it's probably a better picture than most people realize it is.
Yeah, definitely. And 2 days a week is like super luxurious for your average full-time worker, even 3 days a week, because you're still having more time off than you're working.
Yeah, exactly. Three on and four off.
Yeah, three on, four off would be great. There are some jobs that lend themselves better to that.
yeah, of course.
But yeah, you could definitely coast and still have enough money to keep investing on top of paying for your everyday expenses.
Yeah.
But I suppose it makes people feel more comfortable to have some more money. And it definitely helps like build the investment portfolio first, because you know that's just growing in the background and doing its thing.
Hmm.
Why didn't you semi-retire, eh, Dave?
I kind of stumbled into it essentially. Like I didn't know about any of this like financial independence stuff. I mean, I knew about building enough wealth to retire early, but I hadn't read any of this stuff really. I couldn't find much stuff. And then I was only towards the end, I did stumble upon like Mr. Money Mustache and stuff like that, and realized, holy shit, there are other people like this too. Cause I was thinking, you know, we really don't need that much at all. We could live on, you know, if it's $40,000-$50,000 a year. And then I'm thinking, wait, how much do you need to retire? How much do you need to actually, you know, in investments to
make that sort of money?
Yeah, to be able to live on that. And then I'm realizing, wow, you don't actually, you know, you might need seven figures, but that's about all you need. You don't need like millions and millions. And I'm thinking, wow. So that's why I kind of was able to, it kind of surprised me when I realized I was able to retire kind of sooner than I expected, because I was still in the mindset where I thought you needed like multi millions, because I just didn't know any of this stuff back then. So it kind of surprised me. So it was never really on my radar.
Yeah, the Susie Ormans of the world, they really convinced people, eh?
What'd she say? You need 10 million or something?
Oh, I thought she said even 10 million's not enough.
Was it? Oh, okay, I don't know.
Oh, she's crazy.
I don't pay attention to people like that.
Yeah, probably for the best.
Yeah.
She just gives people anxiety. It's probably part of her job.
Yeah. So I wasn't even aware that it was possible. And it was only after learning a bit more and then actually being retired and realizing the benefits, and then thinking about the numbers a bit more and realizing, wow, people could really semi-retire on not that much essentially, and do it in like much less than 10 years if they try hard and get all these benefits and still keep one foot in the workforce essentially at the same time. So yeah, that's why I'm preaching the word now, mate, because I didn't know this stuff back then.
Yeah, and just like we said, it's an inevitable conclusion once you've built up a nest egg, like you're just coasting there.
Mm,
so yeah. It's not bad knowing that in the background as well, while enjoying more of your life now.
Yeah. Do you think people are a little bit worried, you know, about the idea of transitioning, because they might think, well, you know, what if I've got these investments and a part-time job, but what if I lose my part-time job and my investments, like my investments crash or something like that? Do you think there's a bit of fear there? Yeah. And they're possibly thinking about missing out on that, I don't know, more income and more money and maybe more career trajectory that they could have had, like further opportunities. So there's probably a few things that they're thinking that they'll miss out on, or things that could go wrong.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on a market crash investing, if you know what I mean. Like, because once you fully retire, let's say, or you drop down your hours significantly, you don't have as much cash to be continually injecting. So that's probably a consideration that some people might have.
Mm-hmm. I guess a counter to that is that you can always construct your finances in such a way that there is a surplus, however small, in your semi-retirement scenario.
Yeah.
So maybe you're you're spending 50K, you make sure that your part-time income's, I don't know, 60K or it's enough where you can keep reinvesting your dividends or whatever so that the portfolio can keep growing, or you can keep buying a little bit if the market was to go down inside your semi-retirement scenario.
Yep, that's a good idea. You know, something else that's come up as part of this like role change, I'm going to give up my company car and get a car allowance instead.
A car allowance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah.
How's that work?
They give me money and I get to just buy a car. And they, yeah, it's like an extra $15,000 a year they just give me.
Whoa, that's huge, man.
Oh, it's okay. That's before tax. So you pay tax.
But that works out better than having a car.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, what does a car cost you? Like $5,000 a year? Not even that, probably. Depends how much you're driving, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if work is asking you to drive like 80 kilometers each way and then drive between work sites, not so clear. Take toll roads all the time.
So is that supposed to include everything? That's it.
That's what you get.
That's everything. Okay.
But I've been looking on the secondhand car market.
Yeah.
And it's screwed right now.
Yeah.
Secondhand cars are so expensive. I'm looking at like 5-6-year-old cars and they're only a $5,000 to $7,000 saving on a brand new car, like $1,000 a year depreciation.
Should we throw out that old adage that cars are a depreciating asset? That we should have like an asterisk there and it should say, unless you're in a pandemic, then they may appreciate.
But it sucks. It sucks so much because I'm all for getting a secondhand car and like just not paying that new car premium. But fuck no, it just feels crap to buy a 6-year-old car that's only saving you between 5 and 7K compared to a new car.
It's still a saving.
It is a saving.
And it's still a more environmentally friendly option than buying a new car, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can try and frame it in a more positive way for yourself, mate.
Thinking strategies, like should I lease a car for a year and then maybe the used car market will have calmed down by then? I don't know.
Interesting. Possible.
Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know if I want to roll those dice though.
Yeah. Well, you got something to think about anyway, mate.
Yeah. It's another thing to consider.
All right. So let's like wrap this up a little bit. So what are the next steps for you guys in your transition to semi-retirement? Do you have like a rough plan for the next year or 2 years or whatever? What do you see happening apart from like moving into your house and all that? Run us through that.
Yeah, so move into the house. That's a big one. Perhaps toward the end of this year, we both sort of do our work from home things in our current jobs for say a year or so. And then I would definitely be looking to work that down, let's say, from 5 days to at least 4 days or 3 days after that.
Whatever you're like, depending on what your employer is happy with at that time?
Yeah, depending what role I can get and how I can angle it, or if I can't make something work, then finding a job or doing some sort of work where I can manage the number of days I'm working instead of just needing to work full time, because that's how the world works. Yeah. And all in amongst this, Steph and I will be getting married next year, toward the end of next year.
Ah, very
perhaps
nice.
Take a honeymoon. Oh, all those life changes happening all at once.
Where's the honeymoon if you're in lockdown, mate?
There will be no lockdown end of next year. But that's it. That's the plan. Keep doing that. And I think maybe in 2 to 3 years, just doing that, we'll be ready for full retirement anyway if we wanted to.
Okay. You're not sure if you'll actually do that yet? Pull the pin completely, not sure. Yep. Gonna wait and see how semi-retirement goes first. See how you enjoy the taste of it.
Yeah. I'll wait and see, I think.
You might hate it.
I doubt it.
You might miss the overtime.
I might miss the crazy hours. Do you miss the overtime, Dave?
Nah, I don't. You know, there's like, it's funny you say that, because I suppose when you are working towards a goal that you're like so passionate about, almost obsessed about, kind of like I was, and you probably are to some extent too, there is some kind of sick sense of satisfaction you get from like pushing yourself, don't you think, towards that goal?
Oh, mate, I don't know. You get in your 30s and you're just like, oh, this isn't worth it anymore.
That was earlier on, though. That was probably like mid-20s when I was, I started getting pretty like into it, pretty serious about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Nah, mate, I want to take my foot off that accelerator pedal, move down to my home, maybe start a family in the next few years, do that whole wedding thing, all of that, move down to part-time work.
Little pitter-patter of baby Pat or Patricia?
Yeah, maybe, maybe, who knows? See how these, I shouldn't record this, how all of those expenses that all the parents keep talking about manifest in my life. Let's see if they do manifest quite how all of the fear-mongering, is that the word?
Yes, that's the word, mate.
Anyway, I'll wait and see for that. And then we can talk about that too.
Your plans are going to go to hell.
They're going to go to hell, which is why I'm keeping the part-time work just in case.
Part-time work with the option of overtime.
But you see how that transition is a bit more comfortable, just hanging on to that part-time work while I might increase my expenses substantially and then kind of seeing how I feel about all of that, the money going out, the money coming in, the investment portfolio size.
Mm.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That all sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
You excited?
Super excited. Can't wait. Can't wait to spend summer not in Sydney.
Yeah. Is that one of your favorite things about moving, is just getting out of Sydney?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Had enough.
Totally had enough. Everyone's love obsession with the city is ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. Like I said, it has a nice harbour. It has good restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, has good bars. It has a variety of shopping if you're into that. But God, is it really worth it? The rat race. The pace of life is just so extreme in a big city.
One of the nicest parts about Australia's cities is that they're on the water.
Mm.
But then imagine you take the water away and it's just like more suburbia and concrete and everything. It would be pretty shit, wouldn't it? So it's not actually the city that's all that nice. It's because it's against like the water, like or the mountains or nature or something, you know? So if you take that away, what have you got? Just concrete everywhere, which is not all that nice.
Yeah. And from what I hear, that's quite a unique feature of Australia, like having like our most major cities have beaches at them.
Yeah.
And like it's not all that common to be in the largest city in a country and then be half an hour from a beach.
Yeah. Yeah. We are quite unique in that our cities are dotted around the coastlines of Australia.
No, but I agree with you. Like you take the beaches away and it's just like this never-ending rat wheel of like working harder and harder to pay for more and more property, getting stuck in more and more traffic or in like sardine can trains, going back and forth to work while needing to run faster and faster just to keep up.
There's something wrong with that picture.
It is. It's only people's family and friends that keep them here. That's what I think. For the most part, I think given like full choice, a large proportion of people wouldn't decide to live here if it weren't for family, friends and good work.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's pretty, those three things are pretty big, I guess, aren't they?
They are. But the city itself is just, it's turned into just a machine for pumping out full-time work. That's what I think.
Yeah.
And recovering from full-time work.
Yes. hence the idea and the interest in financial independence.
Yes.
All right. I think that's all we've got for today.
Yeah, I hope that was interesting, speaking about my thoughts on moving to a more balanced life.
Yeah.
Which is what FIRE is all about.
All right. So we hope you enjoyed hearing a little bit more about Pat's possible transition into semi-retirement in the not too distant future. As always, there's a lot of like big topics to discuss as we went through today, and a lot of decisions that Pat kind of grappled with in the back of his mind in coming to these kind of decisions. And I think it's good that everyone kind of gets to hear, like what we said at the start, Pat, what you're doing in real time, because most people are on either end of the spectrum, just starting out or they've already retired. And so it's good to kind of catch someone and getting their thoughts while they are making that transition. So that's good.
Yeah. And while the thoughts are a bit fleeting, like you might not remember them a year down the track.
Yeah, good point. All right, so thanks for tuning in today. And again, thank you so much for the amazing reviews that you guys leave us. We love reading them. And we'll be back with a new episode in 2 weeks' time. So we will talk to you then.